All your favorite CBC podcasts are now available on YouTube. The best in award-winning true crime investigations, hilarious comedies, vibrant pop culture conversations, and even more audio series are all available on CBC Podcast's YouTube channel. You'll also find exclusive video first episodes, YouTube shorts, and behind-the-scenes content from our hosts and producers that you can't find anywhere else. So if YouTube is your go-to source for podcasts, just search CBC Podcasts and hit subscribe, and you'll never miss the latest update.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Q. Sometimes, you know, in this job, part of it is just getting these bios, getting these press releases for artists who are putting out new stuff. And, you know, a lot of them are pretty much the same. You know, my favorite ones are always the ones that, like, have some sort of, like, fictional fight between somebody. It's like, oh, it's if Mick Jagger punched Nick Cave rolling down the stairs together. I find those really funny. But this, there's a line in the bio for the next artist you're going to hear that really stuck out to me. It described Iskwe's recent life as a gut-wrenching roller coaster ride. Hard not to ask about that. I mean, I had to know more. So what you do is you take a listen to the music, and it becomes pretty clear that on this new album, Iskwe is going somewhere she hasn't gone before. The album is called Nina. You're going to hear more about what that title means. It's out today. When it came to making the album, Iskwe went to Mexico City and enlisted the skills of the Grammy-nominated producer Damian Taylor. And Nina is Iskwe, the Cree Métis songwriter's first solo album of new material since 2019. And on it, it's the gut-wrenching roller coaster ride. Divorce, isolation, remorse, the pandemic, self-doubt. And she ends up turning it all into this really powerful album about resilience, about love, and about finding yourself again and again. Here's my conversation with Iskwe. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Nice to see you. I haven't seen you. I don't think I've seen you since the pandemic.
Oh, we sure haven't. Not in the flesh.
I see you on the Instagram
you
and
know,
all that kind of
on
stuff.
On the interwebs.
Let me just say this again. Gut-wrenching roller coaster ride. Sounds fun.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
What's going on?
Well, there was a divorce. There was a lot of isolation. I moved to a new city at the top of the pandemic, like you do after a divorce, and didn't really know anybody. And so did lockdown kind of totally by myself, and then moved to a different city that I didn't really know anybody and did it again. But I was warm, at least this time, and and made a record. But yeah, it was a lot of, there was a lot of things happening in a span of a couple of years.
Well, let's go through each of those things, if you don't mind.
I would love to.
So you, I can tell. So you, you moved to Montreal.
Yes.
And you moved to Montreal during lockdown.
Yes.
So Montreal, people listening to this might remember, intense lockdowns.
Intense.
Curfews.
Yes.
Intense isolation.
Yeah.
I've also read that you were like, you were struggling with, and help me understand this a little bit, like sort of struggling with your own relevance when you were under lockdown. What does that mean?
Well, I was on a really good run in my art and my career, just like a lot of people. And, you know, I was set to perform at the Junos. I won a Juno that year. I was set to perform on the broadcast. I had a tour. I had all of these incredible things that were happening both in Canada and internationally. It was all of these incredible things that when that day hit, it just all stopped. Obviously, I didn't at any point think it was just happening to me. But there was this moment where I was like, you know, this could just all go away in a moment, anything.
All this momentum you felt like you had.
Just done like that. Not done, but like in that moment, it was just crickets. Like there was nothing happening for anybody. But how I was sitting with it myself was this realization of how quickly you can just be irrelevant.
And how does that feel?
It's scary, but it's also kind of liberating. And then it's also scary again, because it's like, you know, as an artist, you have these conversations with yourself where you're like, make the art for the art's sake. Don't worry about who's on the other side of it and what they think and, you know, if they listen or if they like it or anything like that. But then there's also the business side, that this is the artist's livelihood, and you don't want the business to just disappear, because then what?
Song Sure to Come.
Sure to Come.
It's sort of about that, right?
Absolutely about that. It was that I was still in Hamilton at the time. I was in my basement. The pandemic had hit.
That's where you were living before Montreal.
And, you know, I was sitting there and it was like I just couldn't understand what was happening. And I also was just like, holy, like I said, just overnight, everything was changing. Everything was different. And yeah, that sensation of like, you don't know if you're going to be obsolete today, tomorrow. But it was also this sort of introspective about career in general, where it's like you strive to be the best that you can be. You strive to do the best that you can do, but you have no control over who's going to receive it, when, how. Maybe it's today, maybe it's after you're dead, maybe it's never. Like, who knows?
It sounds liberating in some ways. You're right.
Exactly,
you
know, right?
You have to make what you can while you still can.
It really solidifies that idea of just staying in the moment.
So why Mexico? How did you, well, besides the warm weather, why Mexico?
Well, that's a story.
Okay, lay it on me. It's what I'm here for.
All right. So
okay.
Years and years and years earlier, I had been traveling in Argentina, and I was in Buenos Aires, and I met this man who was working at this little hotel that we were staying at. So we would sit with him and talk about music and talk about politics, because this person was living in exile from Colombia in Argentina. And so we were having all kinds of conversation.
Right.
And he was a musicologist. So it was great because we had these big, beautiful conversations, and they were very soul. They got me in my spirit.
Nourishing.
Like, very nourishing.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it was the very last day, and a little tiny bit of a romance started to kick in. Okay. And we had this very nice kiss, you know, nothing more, nothing less. But we had a moment where we exchanged information, said we would keep in touch, and then said, hey, one day, why don't we meet in Mexico? And, you know, life goes on. 7 years later, you know, I had been married, I got divorced, he had been married, he got divorced, the pandemic hit, everybody's at home and on the internet. And so the loose conversations that we had had over the years, very friendly, you know, nothing flirtatious, but,
sure,
you know, like a loose keeping in touch.
Like an Instagram or a text or a...
Like text.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it, gotcha.
And so we started chatting, and when the first travel ban was lifted, mm-hmm, we were like, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we go meet in Mexico? So we had this plan to go for a few weeks. At that time, I was set to be in the studio in Los Angeles with Damian Taylor at the end of those 3 weeks.
Damian Taylor, for people who don't know, incredible producer, Grammy-nominated producer, Bjork, The Killers, hotshot producer.
Prodigy, all kinds of folks.
I'm sure he is. I'm only joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. Go on.
So we went there for the 3 weeks, and it was just incredible. And I get back to Canada, and I'm on Zoom with Damian, and we're chatting, getting set to go, for me to go over to LA, and we're going to do two songs together.
You had already gone to Los Angeles, to Mexico. You'd already gone.
Correct.
Once, came back.
Yeah.
Getting ready to record now with the hotshot.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And I was telling him about how alive I felt again, you know, like colors seemed brighter. And I remember walking in, even with my mask on, I walked into this market to go buy some food, and the smell, I was in the section with all of the fruit, and the smell was like nothing I'd ever experienced before, to the point that I got all teary and emotional, because I'm just like, whoa, the feeling of being alive again was just such a new sensation, right?
Right, that makes sense. You had gone through a divorce, for God's sake, so you were already feeling like a disconnection from your, I'm,
yeah,
sure you had a lot of big life questions you were asking yourself.
Exactly.
in that moment. You had gone through pandemic in a new city where you didn't really know anybody. You leave Canada. You are going down to ostensibly to see someone you know,
yes,
have an affection for. I can only imagine how that must have been feeling.
And so Damien's on the other end of this call, and he looks at me, he's like, well, I want that. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I want what you've been experiencing.
Right.
He's like, why don't we go do these two songs in Mexico City, which is where I had just been. And I was like, are you for real here? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. I have a studio I can reach out to and see if they'll house us and,
yeah,
you know, like leave it with me. And I was like, great. So we get back there, and the two songs within like, you know, a day or two turned into a full album.
Well, I mean, it's a really amazing story. And the album, I mean, I'm starting to understand it a little better, because the album's called Nina,
mm-hmm,
which is the Cree translation for...
Me.
For me.
Yeah.
Why? Where did that title come from for you?
Well, I'm Cree Métis on my mother's side.
Yeah.
And the Cree language was the language that came through my family line. And it's always been important to me to learn as I go, because, you know, I'm not a fluent speaker by any stretch, and I've been learning little bits and pieces throughout my lifetime. And it's always been important to me to continue to do that and share as I learn, right? And because this record is such a deeply, deeply personal story of me, it's the first time that I've done this, where I've really just sat and told a story start to finish of a window of time, a snapshot of my life. And it's just all about my experience over the last few years that includes divorce and the end of a different relationship, the start of this new adventure, this sensations of isolation and total sadness, but then also the questions of like my relevance and watching that shift and change and how I felt while those shifts and changes were happening externally and around me and how I coped. And, you know, there was a lot of things that were going on, but there was also a lot of love and liberation and sensuality and all of these other pieces that I also wanted to really capture in the story, because it wasn't just, you know, a batch of years of total sadness. There was incredible moments in there. There were those, you know, moments of walking into that market and having that smell totally stop me in my place and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Can you tell me about the song I Get High?
Mm.
I sort of got the idea that it's about, you know, we should lift one another up instead of tearing each other down. Talk to me a little bit about that song.
Yeah. The idea of writing a song that would then be called I Get High started off as a bit of an inside joke within my team, right? And, you know, it's legal in Canada, so I think I can talk about
weed. You can talk
about it,
about, for sure. You can
okay,
talk
great.
About it. Yeah, you wouldn't be the first and you won't be the last. It's all right, you know? I get it.
Okay. So I, over, you know, the span of my lifetime, have been known to dabble in smoking from time to
the
time.
The old laser lettuce, hey? I get you. Yeah.
The wacky tobacco. Mm-hmm. And so on my team, it was being encouraged of me to take this opportunity to let people into that side of me as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. that piece. And I was like, well, you know, truthfully, I don't know if I'm 100% comfortable just like writing a Cypress Hill type ballad to the other love of my life. And Damien and I, when we were doing this record, we spent so much time talking. Right? Like, I would get to the studio a couple of hours after he did, and he would be in there, you know, like tweaking and working his magic on stuff that we had done the day before. Mm-hmm. And then when I would arrive, we would spend the first few hours of every day talking.
What would you talk about?
Life. All the things. All of this story that became Nina, we talked about all of those different pieces. And in those conversations, you know, I would be smoking. Damien doesn't smoke. So I would be smoking. We would have these conversations. And it really allowed me to feel this connection with this person that was helping me tell my story. And he really took the time to nurture that, right? And get to know and ask the questions. And so in these conversations, there was this experience that was really hurting my soul at the time, especially. And it was one where I'd gone through something pretty heartbreaking for me and for my family. I was attacked on the internet and it was quite terrible. And
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. And so I didn't know how to recover from it yet. You know, like I was still right in the heart of feeling hurt and sad. And I wanted to talk about this experience, but from a place of kindness still, because to me, I feel like every time I turn on the internet, people are just hurting each other left, right, and center. You know, yeah. Like there's so much pain that's being passed on to the next person through really cruel comments and cruelty that just exists. And I see this and I'm like, man, about all kinds of conversations, right? Like not specific to what had happened to me. And so I wanted to talk about how we can better take care of each other and not feel the need to stomp on somebody else just to make our own dopamine hit go up a little bit. And I wanted to share that from a place of like, hey, let's support each other. When your success is my success and your accolades are my accolades, and let's, you know, like let's share and encourage the one beside us to do well, because the more we do well, the more reach that extends and so on, right? So that was the purpose of I Get High. You know, like the tongue-in-cheek, of course, this is the stoner song that's like, ha, 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 like I smoke weed.
Yeah.
But really and truly, the premise of it is the concept of high is just about sharing and uplifting each other.
As opposed to going low.
As opposed to going low.
Exactly. I understand, I think, a little bit more. And I'm not going to ask you to talk about anything more than you want to talk about. I get it. But, you know, there had been sort of like some sort of accusations towards you, mm-hmm. which people can look up around mm-hmm. you potentially misrepresenting yourself. And people are kind of coming after you on the internet. And you say, you know, I think there's something about the idea that when you go through something like that, to come out of it with some sort of like compassion or love for the people, you know?
Well, I understand where things begin. I understand where, like, I understand the conversation. Yeah. I understand my place in it. I understand all of the different bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. My response with the song was to focus on kindness regardless, mm-hmm. you know, to focus on bringing it back to let's support each other. Let's be kind. I don't need another trying to chip away. You won't be coming, pulling on my wings like I'm not good enough to be someone. You're pushing all the way like you're the only one to carry tons of knocking other people down to take a seat. Not for one, causing lots of waves. And now it seems a cat has got your tongue. The only other battle left for us is one to overcome. I'm sitting here thinking how instead I should be rolling one. So let's get high. I wanted to ask a little bit about the song I Get High features Nina Hagen. Yeah, man.
Godmother of German punk.
Yeah.
Very important part of the punk and new wave movements of the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. A bit of a childhood dream for you to get to record with her.
Oh my gosh.
Is this one of those things where you don't ever get to talk to her, just get sent her way?
Did you Absolutely.
Get to, yeah.
Still super dreamy, however.
How did that happen?
Well, okay, so back with Damien, the day that we are, you know, doing this song, and he's like, look, like, why don't we just try doing this stoner song? And I was like, oh, okay, fine. And so mm-hmm. he's like, what were some songs that you listened to back in the day when you would smoke and kick back? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, number one was this song, Cosmic Shiva by Nina Hagen.
What a cool kid you were.
Yeah, I had cool parents.
You do, yeah. Good, cool taste.
That was my dad's influence.
For me, it would have been like Blood Sugar Sex Magic. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yours is so much cool. Oh, yeah, just German new wave music. That's fine. It's quick. Go on.
In the early 90s.
Yeah, mine would have been Smash Mouth. But anyway, continue on.
So I play him the song, and I have this on video where he's sitting off to the side listening to the tune, and it's like, I call him the wizard because he's just a genius. And it's like, you can physically see the song, the Nina Hagen song, like computing through his body. And if you can't see me, people, I'm like making my hands pass by my face down because yeah. it's just like beep, 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 beep,
it's
beep.
The
beep.
Matrix.
It's the Matrix. Yeah. He's absorbing. And it's like maybe 30 seconds into the song, he just gets up. He doesn't say anything. His face is stone cold. He just gets up. He goes over to the computer and he just starts, you know, pushing buttons and doing stuff on his synth. And then like in 5 minutes or less, we've got this incredible sample. And then within an hour, we've got the song written start to finish.
Wow.
So I come back home. And now, of course, we have to bring it to Nina because it's a sample. It's her tune, right? And so I get home and my dad's like, you know, Nina Hagen is anti-drug. And I was like, huh, well, good thing the song is not just about that,
yeah.
right? And then so I wrote her a letter. And I was like, hey, Ms. Hagen, you know, I don't remember what I wrote in it exactly, but it was along the lines of like how I've admired her music, her artistry, her fearlessness, her bizarre qualities but I mean that from like the most exceptional way, right? She's fascinating. And I'm like, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what happened to me. And this is what I'm writing about. You know, how do you feel about it? And she responded. I think it took her like maybe an hour or 2 hours. And she responded and was like, you know, signed off on it 100%. And then asked to be listed as a feature and not for financial gain.
Oh.
Just as a like support of the song.
It's great. Come on. How much did that mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. You don't even know. I think I might have screamed like a little kid. It was really powerful.
I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. Coming up, more of my conversation with the musician Iskwe.
I'm Ara Madison III.
And I'm Louis Fertel. This year, we're excited to bring you new episodes of Keep It, covering the holy trinity of award season, Emmys, Grammys, and the granddaddy of them all, the Oscars. It's like the Super Bowl for Hollywood, but with more sequins and fewer concussions.
And we are continually blessed by iconic guests like Michelle Yeoh, Tori Kelly, Andy Cohen, and Jinx Monsoon.
New episodes of Keep It drop every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts, or subscribe to Keep It on YouTube for access to full episodes and other exclusive content.
There's a lot of self-compassion here too, Skoya. You know, like the song Exhale, the end of the record. Blue Sky Woman, which is you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blue Sky Woman, right?
Waseskwanisquo.
Blue Sky Woman.
That's
in Cree.
Correct. In Cree, yep.
You don't have to fight. It's time for you to breathe out. And then your roots climb higher if you just ground your heart. What are you trying to tell yourself here?
Well, I'm trying to remind myself that it's okay to breathe. I don't have to fight every single battle that I come up across or I come up against. To be gentle on myself as well, you know, that I can do the best that I can and I can listen and I can learn and I can be open to feedback and all of the different things that are a part of growth and a part of improving ourselves as we mature, as we spend, you know, another day on this walking world. And also to remind myself to be gentle in that, in those lessons, and that some lessons are hard and some lessons are a little softer. But at the end of the day, I have to remind myself, I have to look at myself in the mirror at the end of every day and say, okay, I did what I could today. Tomorrow's a different day, but I did what I could today.
It really feels like you went through an awful lot on this record, and it really feels like it led to some really beautiful moments and some beautiful music too.
Aw, thank you, Tom.
Nice to have you coming in. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Come back sooner.
Deal.
From her brand new album, Nina, which is out today, that is Iskwe with a song called Exhale. Before that, my conversation with Iskwe, who joined me in the Q studio. The other conversation we have up today is my chat with star of Twin Peaks, Blue Velvet, and now the TV series Fallout, Kyle MacLachlan, who was also in Sex and the City and also in the original adaptation of Dune, which didn't go over very well. And now, Dune is the biggest movie in the world, and Kyle MacLachlan's not in it, and he's watching Timothy Chalamet play that role. What's that like? Has he been to see it? Yes, he has. What did he think? And what was it like for him? How do you find peace with that? You'll find it over on our podcast. We'll see you soon. Later up.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.